Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for today's message is our Old Testament reading from Genesis chapter 2. The opening words of our text teach us a lot. Then the Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living creature. Those words teach us that man is different, that he is indeed superior to all other creatures, that he is God's special creation. By his almighty word, the Lord God spoke the universe into existence, the sun, the moon, and the stars, the earth with all of its land and seas, with its plants and animals. But the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground. No other creature is hand-built by God. God made Adam from the ground that God has spoken into existence, and he made Eve from Adam's rib. And God himself breathed life into Adam and gave him an everlasting soul. When human beings create something, it's usually for a purpose. The only thing that, in my observation, isn't made for any kind of purpose is abstract modern art. I don't know if you agree, but it just makes me scratch my head. But when a woodworker makes a cabinet, it's for a purpose, to store clothing or dishes or knickknacks. When road workers build a road, it's for a purpose, to get you from point A to point B. When architects design a bridge, it's for a purpose, to cross a river or a valley. God designed, and then he built you by his own very hand. The psalmist says, "For you formed my inward parts, you knitted me together in my mother's womb." That means that you have been created for a purpose. God made you for a purpose. You have a reason for your existence. It's very easy for Christians to answer these questions. Why am I here? Why do I exist? What is my purpose? Well, the answer then is this. Adam and Eve were created. You were created to love and serve God with your entire being, to worship him above all things. You are created to care for this world as God's stewards, as his representatives. And you are created to love and serve your neighbor with the skills that God has given you. And that's really what education is all about. It should be. To learn about God, the highest of all teachings, theology. To learn about his creation, the arts and the sciences. And then to learn and hone your skills that God has given you so that you may serve your neighbor. Furthermore, only mankind was created in God's image. Adam and Eve were to reflect God in their righteousness and their wisdom and their knowledge of what is good. They were created to communicate with God, to love and revere him, and to rightly know him as their Lord and Creator. And so that they could truly love and revere the Lord, God gave them free will. Moses writes, "The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, 'You may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it you shall surely die.'" The entire garden was for Adam's delight and care and use. But just one tree God reserved for himself. This was God's commandment to a willing Adam. Here we see true worship. To fear and love God is to obey him. If Adam would have obeyed God and not listened to the serpent, then what a blessing life would be for us now. No sickness or death, no crime or prisons, no adultery or divorce, no bad weather, no pain or suffering, and no government for that matter. Government is a result of the fall into sin, to keep sin in check. There would only be joy in the pure love and worship of our Creator, and joy in the love each man has for his neighbor. But Adam chose. He chose to be deceived by Satan. He disobeyed God and sinned. No longer was he free, but now he is bound to sin, a slave of Satan. No longer was he righteous, but his very nature was corrupt to the core and hostile against God. No longer did he fear and love God, but now he was afraid of God. No longer was God his friend, but his enemy. And he wanted nothing to do with the one who had created him and the creation. Created to serve man, now brought pain and suffering under the corruption of Adam's sin. Mankind was given the task of caring for creation as God's stewards, but sin has turned that all around. Now mankind is abusive of creation. On the one hand, we poison our water and our air and hunt animals to extinction. But on the other hand, we worship the creation and we call the earth our mother. This loss of original righteousness is very apparent in all of us. Now we love and serve ourselves above God and everything else. We believe that our neighbor is here to serve us and to fill our lusts and desires, whether that's for money or power or sex. We even deny the Creator against the spectacular evidence that the world has been created by His power, mind, and word. But above all, we die. Death comes to all of us because all of us have sinned. Sin separates us from the one who has created us and given us life. And that's why we die. And because God is eliminated from our lives, so is purpose and value. What value does human life have if there is no God? What is the purpose for your life if you only came into being by random chemical reactions? Abortion and sexual perversions are rampant because we deny the Creator. Life is cheap and we are willing to kill innocent lives because we deny the value that God has placed into human life because He has made it. Our young people go to school and then to university only to learn from their teachers and their professors that there is no God. That they are merely the products of chemical reactions. Ultimately, they have no purpose. So the purpose that they seek is the pursuit of pleasure. Hedonism, which always ends in pain and suffering. Because listening to the devil always ends in pain and suffering. But the thing is, natural man is blind to this loss of original righteousness. The Bible teaches us that since the fall, mankind is unfathomably wicked, blind and dead in sin. But the thing is, we don't know this. We don't recognize just how far we have fallen from the glory of God. We think we're just fine. Ask anyone if he's a good person, and what will the answer be? Yes. Or, well, I'm better than most people. Don't all of us have that opinion about ourselves, that we are better than most people? But this is a statistical absurdity. How can everyone be better than most people? If you think that you are better than most people, that means that more than half the people in this room are worse than you. Is that something you really believe? But that's just how blind we are to our fallen condition and our thoroughly corrupt nature. We only see ourselves through our own eyes. And we think, hey, I'm not so bad. But how do you look in God's eyes? Isn't that what matters? He is the judge. He is the one who sees the heart. And what God sees is something far different from what we see. He sees that we have all fallen far short of His glory. And because we are blinded by Satan and by sin to our own corrupt and fallen nature, that must be revealed to us. And that is what God does through His law. Through His law, His Ten Commandments, God shows us that our every thought, word, and deed is indeed sinful and contrary to His will. and that we are lost and condemned, subject to His wrath. Yet even in your fallen nature, you have been created by the hand of God. You have been knit, each of you, in your mother's wombs. You see, sin isn't the opposite of good. It is the corruption of good. An apple is still an apple, even if it's rotten. God's creation is still His creation, even if it is corrupted by sin. Therefore, even in sin, you are still God's creation. You are still His creatures. He still loves you. Which means you still have a purpose for your life in this world. This world, even in its state of corruption, continues to serve God's purpose. Not fully, not completely, but it still does so. Even the devil serves God's purpose. That may surprise you. But in his wicked desire to destroy you, it moves you to turn to God and seek His mercy. And the devil's work is foiled. God continues to work good through a fallen world and through fallen mankind. Our water may be impure, but it still refreshes us. The same thing can be said of the air we breathe. Weather may be severe and dangerous, but it still brings needed water to our crops and our cattle. An unbelieving doctor still treats and heals our diseases and injuries. And a sinful government still provides for our protection and provision. But the good that God works through creatures doesn't save. Not even a godly doctor is saved by his efforts to heal the sick and treat the injured. For our good works, even though they appear good, they are still corrupted by sin. And that's what God sees. A rotten apple may look good on the outside, but once you slice it open, you don't want to eat it. Your good works may make you look good to your neighbor and may make you feel good about yourself, but God sees what is at the core, the heart of each one of us. And a rotten apple cannot save itself from rottenness. Neither can we. To be saved from the corruption of sin and from eternal death, to again know the truth that we are created and loved by God, to again love and worship God and do the works that please Him, to restore us in us the righteousness of God, God must recreate us. We cannot recreate ourselves. God must make us a new creation. And you got to witness God do just that today in the life of Vera Emmeline Telander. As beautiful as a baby as she is, Vera was born in sin, a daughter of corruption, subject to God's wrath. But today, God made her a new creation. He made her a member of His family. He freed her from her bondage to sin and death and placed her under the umbrella of His grace. And He did that all in baptism. The Apostle Paul teaches that baptism is the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. That word regeneration literally means to be Genesis again. To go back to the Old Testament, to the book of Genesis, which means creation. How did God create the universe? By the power of His Word. And that's exactly what God puts into baptism. His creative word, that you may be born again, born from above, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Baptism, as the Holy Spirit's work of regeneration and renewal, is only possible because of Christ Jesus. The sin that brings disobedience and death, the sin that clouds our vision of God and His word of truth, the sin that turns us into selfish self-lovers, Jesus has overcome on the cross. In His death, we are saved from God's wrath against sin. And in His resurrection, we are saved from death itself. And both the death and the resurrection of Jesus are poured into baptism, as the Apostle Paul teaches in Romans. In those waters right there today, Vera died with Christ. She died to sin and its condemnation. She died to what separates her from God and brings death. And there she rose again in Christ Jesus, a new person, walking in newness of life, a child of God. And in those holy waters, She received the forgiveness of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then this regenerated and renewed life in Christ. We all have a restored relationship with God the Father. For the sin that separates us from God is gone. Gone in Christ. And in Christ we have renewed minds. Indeed, the Holy Spirit has given you minds that understand the depth of your guilt and the consequence of your sin. But also, you have in you the mind of Christ that rejoices in the gift of forgiveness, the washing away of your sins, and the grace of God that you live under as His people. And with the mind of Christ, you not only want to understand, but you desire to have the Word of God in your lives, to live your lives by it, to embrace it and to know it. As Paul writes in 2 Corinthians, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, behold, the new has come. Yet you should know that the devil continues to afflict God's people. He works even harder in you than in unbelievers. He wants to rob you of the peace and comfort that you have in the recreating waters of holy baptism, being redeemed by Christ and being renewed by the Holy Spirit. He will try to take away your peace and joy in Christ by reminding you of past sins and guilt, that your conscience may be dirtied. He will try to put a divide between you and God by convincing you that God doesn't love you or care for you because you suffer, or He doesn't answer your prayers the way you want Him to. He will use your desire to sin, a desire that you always have with you. So long as we live in this world, we live with the sinful nature. He will use that desire to cause you to sin and bring you into false belief and despair. But you have been baptized. You have been baptized into Christ. That's an objective reality that the devil cannot take from you. Because baptism is not your work, it is God's work. In those waters, God began a good work in Vera, and God began a good work in you, a work that He continues to preserve and strengthen through His own word and the sacrament of His Son. The devil can throw sin and guilt at you, but remember your baptism. All your sins are washed away. Your conscience is clean before God. The devil can try to convince you that God doesn't love you, but remember your baptism, for in your baptism there is the blood of Jesus. No greater gift to mankind than God giving Jesus into death on the cross for you. What greater act of love is there than that? And the devil will succeed in tempting you to sin. But in repentance, the Holy Spirit returns you to your baptism, where you are assured of God's forgiveness and reconciliation in Christ Jesus, where you are assured that God loves you. How many of us parents still love our children, even when they don't do what we want? Baptism reminds you, teaches you, keeps before your mind that God loves you. And with baptism comes the Holy Spirit, who not only teaches you what is pleasing to God, but helps you to do what is pleasing to God. It is the Holy Spirit who helps you to live your life, your Christian life, fulfilling God's purpose for you, to love Him now and to love Him forever, and to serve your neighbor. In Jesus' name, amen. The congregation, please stand.